Greetings to the congregation. I'm thankful because this morning, as we come to worship, we are thankful for the safety that we receive from the Lord. And we have a beautiful weather here to worship. The key verse is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest to stand, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen through. Do you think that we need that fear of the Lord? That we feel that we are guaranteed of eternal life already? There's a young kid, he wants to see a circus, but he didn't have any money. He asked the father, "Father, can you give me some money to go to the circus?" And his father said, "If you can find 50 cents somewhere, then I will give you 50 cents to match it." And so he went out. He was helping others to help others, and then he received 50 cents as a payment for his work. And his father gave him another 15. He was very happy. And now he has $1 to go to the circus. When he went to the circus, he's not inside yet. And he saw a procession of the animals walking by. And they were entering the circus. And there was one clown. He was choosing a place that he could see all these animals that are making our processing journey. And there's a clown there, and he and touched his head. He feels so happy, and he gave $1 into the box of the clown. And he told his father, "Father, father, I have seen the circus, and I gave $1. You haven't seen the circus yet," his father said. "You just saw the procession." Dear congregation, the happiness of the Christian is when someone to say, "I want to see the Lord." If someone said, "I want to see Jesus," and that is the happiest time. But the most awkward thing, but we are coming to a religious activity to practice those religious activities and not really seeing Jesus. This is something that may the Lord have mercy on us to understand that we are not doing religious activities as we come to the church, but his life is never part of the relationship with Christ. If we do see Christ, our faith will be in vain. So the title of today's message is Choose Goodness. Jesus has shown us about a kernel of wheat falling to the ground, and it will have to die to bear fruit. But this is something that will have to be in our life so that we can see Jesus, that their life will be of value when it died to sin, that we can see the Lord Jesus now. There are 3 points of today's message that the Lord has shown us in the scripture, the goodness of our life. The first is die to bear fruit. The second is to risk everything to have life. And the third is to serve, to be glorified. Let's pray for guidance. Dear our Heavenly Father, we are thankful because of the safety you have given us this morning. We come into the sanctuary to worship you. We are of one heart, of all the congregation, and also worshiping from home, can come into the worship with us. May you help us, each one of our heart, to be soft, to be reminded of your word this morning. May the Holy Spirit will put your word in our heart and help us to understand the principle that we are your creation, to choose the best in life, the goodness of God, so that our life will be valuable to you, to bear fruit for you, and experience the eternal life, the resurrection life that you have given us. May you guide us so that we can keep not a religious activity, but the relationship with the Lord. May you change our life, so that give us the power to apply your life, your word to our life. We are thankful and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing is die to bear fruit. In verse 24, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And from when God created this world, all the creation must be follow the laws that God has decreed. And all creation is part of God's plan. When God creates a seed, God gives the seed a natural laws. And we can sow the seed, and it must sow something to bear fruit. Or we can see a fruit, and it will go fruit for us. And in the seed, then the structure has three parts in a seed. It's the germ of the seed. That seed, that germ has life in it, and it's about 3% of this piece of grain, and 15% are the shell that protected the seed inside, and 82% is about the starch to protect the seed inside the shell. Dear congregation, only 3% has life in it. But if this seed would fall and die, and that 3% of that germ, it would develop into a fruit with many other seeds. That's a wonderful thing about God's creation. If the seed does not die, it would not bear fruit. So why did Jesus say the seed must die? What does it have to die? The death is that 3% of that germs are inside the seed. But what the seed must die is not that 3%, but that's the 15% of the outer shell must deteriorate. And 15% of that shell in a weak seed, we have to take out the shell, but inside that, and there are different shells with different material that protect the inside of the seed. And then the shell is the one that protects the life. And there's a clothes to protect the inner part of the seed. And when we see any seed, the fruit seed, everything has a shell around it. When it's dried up, and then the outer shell is very hard. But when it's put inside the ground, the soil, then the outer part will decay, allowing the 3% to grow. And so we see that the seed, how the principle of nature works. So when the seed could not die of the outer shell, the life inside of it could not be developed in the soil. And the rest of the seed and the starch will be used to nourish the life of the 3% of that seed. That is the natural law for the seed to grow. And therefore, when we committed sin, the human enters sin. Jesus has a plan to save us, and to save us, God has a natural, the spiritual law, but to become sinless, Christ has entered and sacrificed. And so our spiritual life is never old, could not be changed, just like the natural laws of the sea. Paul has shown us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, when death is present in us, but life is active in you. Just like the sea who died, when the death is in me, then life is in you. And that spiritual law continues to be forever. That spiritual life of Christian. After Jesus had died on the cross, and then Stephen suffers in the Acts, the book of Acts, has been used the Christ has died to save the world, but it doesn't mean that. And so it's not like everybody will be saved automatically, but there is a spiritual law for whoever put his faith, the faith in Christ, that will death in me will die, and that will gain life. So what we have, that is what is good. Like the sea, whatever dies must be the outer shell. It has to decay, then the life inside the seed will grow. Your life and mine, because of nature of sin in us, we have the outer shell to protect us. And when those outer shell of sin prevent us from the life of the seed, cannot grow. And because of the life of Christ that cannot grow, we will not bear fruit for the Lord. So if we do not die like a seed, we cannot bear fruit. And this law, when you and I continue to live with our sinful nature, if we are proud of what we of our understanding, maybe there are we proud about what we have served the Lord. So we're proud of what we have done for the Lord. But if that pride has died, then we can give life to others. Maybe the outer shell, maybe it's an experience of some success. I have done this for the Lord. I've done that others cannot do, that I can be satisfied with what I have done. That becomes a pride. If something that satisfies us because of our achievement. But if we can die with those satisfaction of what we achieve, then we can become, others can have life. Maybe the outer shell is the name, the honor that we need. If we are made mistake that we do not want to change or admit of our mistake. So everybody's wrong, not me. Maybe we defend ourselves and we blame others for our mistake. But when God wants us to die to ourselves, that means if I can ask for forgiveness, we must ask for forgiveness. And if we are incorrect, make a mistake, we must admit of our mistake. And when we die of our sinful nature, then we will be alive in Christ to bring life to others. If our outer shell is a social status in society, that I do not want to lose that honor. And because of our honor, we do not want to sacrifice that. I want others to see that and then to praise me for what my social status is. And we need to sacrifice our personal glory to gain the honor of God. And because God will have to be honored, I will be low myself and humble myself. God has caused us to destroy the outer shell of a Christian so that the sinful nature of our self can be destroyed. A pearl is very different than a seed. The pearl can be used to purchase many grains. And we do not have any credit. The pearl is said remaining because the pearl has no life in it. But that has a value, but it has no life. The pearl remains the pearl. But a seed of wheat inside the soil, that seed wheat must die to have bear fruit, to continue to grow, and then it will bear more seeds, more grain. But in the beginning, it has no value. But the value of the seed of wheat has life inside of it. So God looked at your life and mine. He did not value of what we have as an outer shell. Whatever we are, whatever we have, but the value of our life and my life has life inside that can bring life to others. The fruit that if we agree to die to ourselves, we give up the value of this world, but to gain the value of what want us to. But Peter, the apostle, no one can be as honored as a fisherman as Peter, but Peter gave up his own life for the life of Christ. So someone agreed to die with Christ of our sinful nature, then the life of that person will be growth by the Lord. There's a pastor in Romania, a pastor named Joseph Chan, a pastor in Romania, and he was arrested by the secret police for publishing a sermon calling for the churches to refuse to submit to the communist government's demand for control over their ministry. When an official told him he must renounce his sermon, he replied, "No, sir, I won't do that." The official, surprised that anyone would respond so forcefully to the secret police, said, "Aren't you aware that I can use force against you? Sir, let me explain to you." Pastor Tan said, "You see, your supreme weapon is killing. My supreme weapon is dying. You know that my sermons are spread all over the country on tapes. When you kill me, I only sprinkle them with my blood. They will speak 10 times louder after that because everybody will say that teacher meant it because he sealed it with his blood. So go on, sir, kill me. But when you kill me, I win the supreme victory." So, because of his courage, the people will say that his sermon is sprinkled and sealed with his own blood. And so his final word is, "So don't answer, kill me. When you kill me, I win the supreme victory." The secret police release him, knowing his martyrdom would be far more of a problem than his sermon. So his faith has saved him because of the courage to stand up for what is true. And so because of this word, he was released, because his death will present a more issue to the government at that time than anything else. The congregation may be we do not understand the mystery of our life and death in Christ. If he is killed, then it will bear fruit. Then the life of the seed must die of the outer shell. It must sacrifice 80% of the content of the seed to nourish the 3% of life inside the seed. Then that seed will be alive and grow into multiple seeds. When your life and mine, when we agree to align with the law of God has decreed for us, the seed will remain the seed. If it does not die, it would not bear fruit. A seed, there must be 3% of life inside that seed. If that 3% did not develop a wheat, it must be sold to the ground. That the outer shell is not dying, still the seed would not develop. That means that if the outer shell has not died, it would bear new fruit. It has no value as a seed because the 3% of life could not be developed when the outer shell has not been destroyed. The 3% of that life inside the seed would not grow. When our outer shell is not destroyed, our sinful nature is not destroyed, we will not align with Christ. We may be proud of our moral. We will be proud of our achievement, of our honor in society. And all those have not died, that those Christians will not be alive to others. We will not gain life in Christ. We will not die to our outer shell. We are proud of the position as a Christian. Or we can choose to die in Christ so that we can bear fruit for him. Fear the Lord when we still have the promise available to us. If we need to die, may the Lord give us death in our outer shell so that the life of Christ can be in us. And now, the rest that God has promised is still available. May we be purified by the word of God so that we can be used by Christ. The second point that we can share together, risk everything to have life. Verse 25, if you left your life, you will die. But if you sacrifice your life this one, you will have eternal life. In verse 25, normally, if we and I have money, we put the money in the bank for safety. If anything are precious, we do not keep it inside. We have a safe to store it in there to protect it. And so we use like a bank or a storage box in a safe place so that we can protect our possession, something that we value. We want to protect what we have. Jesus gave us a principle that is very strange. Who give us his life in this life will keep eternal life forever. Nobody wants to die. But why did Jesus, whoever wants to risk their lives in this life, then that person will gain eternal life. What do we forfeit in this life? What will we gain? If Jesus is teaching us a principle, if we put our hope in our life here, then we will not have life in heaven. But if we pay attention to the spiritual life that we have given the congregation, and that hope will be realized as eternal life. We put hope in Christ. Hope is known for certain what we hope for that we could not see. May we could not touch, that valuable eternal life. But how I know that we have eternal life? How do you know the promise is fulfilled in us? Because the Holy Spirit is in each of our lives. That Holy Spirit will be a witness to the day of Christ. Without the Holy Spirit in us, you and I will not feel that we have eternal life. But whoever has the Holy Spirit, he has guaranteed by the Holy Spirit, because he's our seal in the day of the Lord. So we see that when we have the Holy Spirit, we will know that we have eternal life. We have the Holy Spirit. If without the Holy Spirit, we will have no guarantee of eternal life. Jesus, you have to risk your life. To risk the life here, not that he's calling us to give up our life for any reason, or risk our life for a purposeless thing in this world. The risk of life that Jesus mentioned here is that when you and I speak of courage to stand up for the truth, if we receive the word of the Lord, if we are have courage to do all these things, this is the risk that the Bible is talking about, to stand up for the truth. A person can risk, I think, that risk the life of something that that person may not know what the end of it will be. But a courage to be obedient to the word of God, we are risking our life for our faith in Christ. And for risk is something like using money to buy stock in the stock market. We are risking our money, knowing, not knowing what the return is. And if you know how to predict the stock market, then if you don't know what the stock market is up or down, would you risk yourself to buy stock in the stock market? I wouldn't think so. But this is different in a spiritual life. We do not risk our lives for something that is not obedient to the word of God. But we risk because of the gospel, of the truth. We need to stand up for the truth. In a hymn by a pastor, may you teach me to comfort others rather other than others will comfort us. May I love others instead of asking love by others. And so this is very principle from the scripture. We want others to gain eternal life. We want others to be comforted rather others to comfort us. We want to serve others rather than to be served. And now, based on the word of God, this pastor has composed this song. And so we know the principle of the Christian life is to give ourselves to others. We need to love others rather than ask others to love us, because we already been loved by the Lord. When we give away is when we receive. And so when we forget ourselves to others, we will receive eternal life. When we forgive others, because we have been first forgiven. When we die to ourselves, we regain our eternal life. When we are experienced that the Lord is willing to give us when we give up ourselves. When we risk our life in this life, and that person will experience the life of everlasting life. Right now, we can experience that life in us, in our life, in our heart and mind. How Jesus, he has lived in that spirit. In Philippians chapter 2, he did not regard. He did not think of equality with God as something to claim. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all the names. The congregation, the devil can tempt us to sin, and in this world that we could not experience the blessing that God has meant for us when he created it. But the Lord still have a plan to supply us a life of him when that person agreed to obey to the word of God. So the condition for something in this world that we sacrifice of what we have to have this temporary life, when we have courage to be obedient to the word of God, and that we experience a power in us, the power of eternal life that God has given us. And this person, if we do this for others to see, it has no value. But if because of Christ we do it, our motivation is different. That means that person will live a life that life has a purpose, has a value, has a meaning to the Lord, being led by the Holy Spirit through his word, so that life can be pleasing to the Lord. There's a true story in Japan. Tokishi has been condemned to capital punishment, and he will have to die. When he was in the prison, there are two Canadians came to visit the one cell next to him. And through the cell, Tokishi, the one who is destined to have capital punishment, he was very ferocious to these two women. He yelled at them. So these two Canadian women could not do anything, but they gave him a Bible through the fences of his cell. And so nothing else. When he was still by himself, he took the Bible and opened and read it. So he found out, he read about in the New Testament, and finally he read about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he read that Matthew said, "Oh Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this verse has touched his heart, Tokishi. And he broke down and cried. He said, "It just touched my heart, just like some knife has pierced through my heart, and it broke my heart. I'm not sure what it was. Maybe I caught the Son of God or not, but he knew one thing. His heart believed in the gospel of Christ." And then his life has been changed in the execution day came. And so he was executed, and strangely, something has changed in Tokishi. They discovered that he has changed completely. And his face was bright when he died at the execution day. And the resident of life has changed. A prisoner who destined for death has been changed. And he gained eternal life because of his faith. He died of his self to gain eternal life, even though he was destined for capital punishment. And he can experience everlasting life right now when we put faith in Christ. The risk of everything we have for the gospel. When we obey the word of the Lord in the gospel, there may be something that now preventing us from establishing our obedience to Christ. We will lose everything. Maybe faith be strengthened by the word of the Lord. If Tokishi was only to be executed or given another part of life, but if he was released into the free world without knowing Christ, his life will have no value. He would not gain eternal life. He may have a few more years to live, but before the Lord, he's still a prisoner under his sin. And because of the word of God touched his heart, he is now, was now a new person, even though he faced execution. And so we can be courageous to stand up for the truth, for the gospel. Okay, we can experience a new life in Christ when we stand up for the gospel. You can feel that everlasting life right now. This power of the gospel has changed many lives around the world. There are many who has a lot of fame, many celebrities have money, but their life is empty. Many seek death to answer their desperation. And so, why the promise is still available, may it turn our heart to submit to the Lord so that we can become an instrument that God can use for everlasting purpose. The third point, serve to be glorified. In verse 26, whoever serves me, just follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Why did Jesus become a servant like a human? That he did not come as a king, a celebrity. Jesus is the Son of God, but he humbled himself. He came as a servant to the Father God. Whoever humbled himself, the Lord will lift him up. What we do, we must humble ourselves. But when we are lifted up, that is the word of our Lord. When we humble ourselves, the Lord will lift us up. Jesus did not humble others so that others can bring Jesus up. No, but he humbled himself. Jesus did not trample others so that he can raise above everybody else. Jesus did not use others to glorify himself. God did not wave his power to heal of miracles so that others can honor him. The word of the Lord is that he humbled himself to become human. And because of that, and because of his humbleness, the humbleness of Christ, that the Lord will bring him up and place of highest honor and give him the name above all names. And that is something all who have put faith in Christ would be the same when we humble ourselves. Whoever has served me, the Father will honor him. And so this glorification is experienced, is very great. Whoever served the Lord, wherever I am, my servant will be there, Christ said. Here, Jesus is not talking a place, like wherever God is, that Jesus is, we will be with him. Not a physical place, but a place in our heart. But we will serve our Christ, just like Christ served the Lord. If Jesus humbled himself and be patient before his enemy, we will do the same. If Christ does not say a word when he was persecuted, we will do the same. That is how we follow Christ, is to imitate Christ by our action, by our understanding about Christ, by standing up for what is true. Not just a process with our lips. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, it says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. People in the world would like to sit with the richest, with those who are stronger. But Jesus come to the sinners. In this world, the apostle sitting in the table, but Jesus washed their feet, the feet of his own apostle, of his own students. In Gethsemane, lonely, Jesus can stand up and give himself up to the enemies to be bound and led to Pilate. In the court of Pilate, Jesus was quiet. He received the beating that nobody can defend him. And on Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, God carried his cross to carry all the shame on the cross for us. He humbled himself and obedient until death, even death on the cross. In James chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord fight the proud, but give grace to the humble. So this is a reminder of you and me that when we humble ourselves, the Lord will lift us up. This is a mystery for us, the principle that we are revealed in the Bible for us. When we humble ourselves, the Lord will lift us up. There's a story, John Pounds, a tall, muscular teen laborer at the ship docks of Portsmouth, England. He was slipped and plunged from the top of a ship's mast and pitching headfirst into the deck below. When fellow workers reached him, he was nothing but a mass of broken bones. For 2 years he lay in bed as his bones healed crookedly. His pain never ceased. Out of sheer boredom, he began to read his Bible. After some time, John crawled from his bed, a new man. He began to look for something to do in his broken and horribly twisted condition. A shoemaker hired him to sit a bench and make shoes. Eventually, he made enough money to purchase his own little shop. He began making shoes for crippled children, and soon his shop became like a little children's hospital. His burden for children grew, and it wasn't long until he began receiving homeless ones, feeding them, teaching them to read, and telling them about the Lord. His shop became known as the Ragged School. And so he has turned his life around from a desperate person to be able to learn of a skill and open his own shop. And his shop become like a children's hospital, or become like a rag school, because he's teaching the homeless to read and he's preaching the gospel there in his own shop. And one day, John would limp around the waterfront with food in his pocket, looking for more children to tend. And because of his shock, he was able to tell the gospel to the children who come, who are needing special shoes. And also because of the way he helped the poor and the homeless, he was able to preach the gospel to the homeless. And he's making his society a better place because of his concern for the poor children and for the homeless. And John was able to help 500 children from despair. His works became so famous that a rag school movement swept England, and a series of laws were passed to establish schools for poor children in John's honor. The boys' homes, the girls' home, day school, and evening school were started all over England because of the work of John, who has done wonderful things while he was healed as a crooked person. And he was honored because many schools has been named in his name, near congregation. Your life and mine will be used by the Father when we sacrifice ourselves for the gospel. Whoever served me, my Father will honor him. Jesus said in 1 Corinthians chapter 58, Paul said to Corinthians, therefore, my dear brother and sister, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our life is temporal, but everlasting life is nothing compared to our work in the Lord will be everlasting. It would not be in vain when we serve the Lord. I hope that your life and mine will be used by the Lord, and we will not be deterred because of all the busyness of this life that prevent us from having a full life in Christ. May we be saved by our weakness, by our excuses, because the gospel is the power of the Lord to save. We have to die to gain everlasting life in Christ. We forfeit the things of this world so that we can experience what is eternal in Christ. And then we give up everything that we have to the Lord, because what good things we have come from the Lord. And the Father will honor those who serve Christ. May we be blessed while the promise is still available for us to claim. We are thankful because we still have the opportunity to dedicate our life to Him. This morning we will have communion in the first Sunday of the month. We will receive the bread and the cup that represent the body and the blood of Christ. Jesus reminds us always that when we do this, we have to remember Him. Remember Him doesn't mean just in the mind only, but is a attitude in our life to express the love of Christ to others. If we do not die with our own sinful nature, if we do not risk the outer shell of what protects our false sense of security, if we do not want to pay the price to gain eternal life, we will not have it. How much are we willing to pay for our eternal life? If we do not fear the Lord, then we will fall into sin, into desperation, into eternal damnation. May the Lord give us, through this communion, be reminded of the sacrificial love that Christ has given us, so that we can have a promise that we will preach the gospel to others. May we have courage to be obedient to the word of Lord, risk our lives to obey the commands of Christ. Let's all stand. We read the key verse, and then we'll pray before we receive the cup and bread. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. We receive the cup and bread, reminding us about Christ's sacrifice. We do not pity Christ on the cross, but it is for us to repent of our sins, to commit our life to Christ. Let's pray. Dear our loving Father, we are thankful for what you have taught us through today's message. Please help us so that we will follow the principle, the spirit principle that has not changed for ages. When we die to sin, that person will be bearing fruit for Christ. If we do not risk ourselves all the comfort, the entertainment of this life, the temporary value of this life, so that we can choose the goodness in Christ to have eternal life, to bear fruit. If we do not pay the price, we will not gain what God has prepared for us. When we serve Christ, the Father will honor us as we receive cup and bread. And we are facing before God our weakness. May you forgive our sins, Lord, that your love and your life can be called into your eternal life. And you have died on the cross for our sin. We're thankful what Christ has done for us, because the Father has lifted Jesus up above all names. And we are now receiving that blessing. If we dare to pay the price, to risk our life, to be obedient to the word, the Father will honor us as we serve Christ. We can experience eternal life right now. May we be worthy as we receive the cup and bread, so that when we leave here, we will not go back to the way we are used to. We would never not just participate in religious activities, but each life can be changed to determine that from now on, Christ lives in me. May you enlighten us to make us understand your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.